Everybody, this is Dave. Welcome back to the All Independent Reno Podcast. This episode features Elsbeth Summers. She's a very talented singer-songwriter from the Reno, Gardnerville area, and she just released her second album after being on a hiatus for 2 years of writing and recording music. Her newest album is called Round and Round, which you can find on iTunes and Bandcamp. And she was nice enough to come by the garage, have a conversation about her music, as well as play a few songs live for us in the garage, so you'll get to hear that at the end of this episode. You can check out everything about Elsbeth at elsbethsummers.com, and you can find her on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. So anyways, let's get into the episode with Elsbeth Summers. But yeah, so I'm sitting here with singer-songwriter Elsbeth Summers. Thanks for coming down and talking with me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also brought your boyfriend, James.
Yes, I brought my boyfriend, James. He helped quite a bit with the album, and then we also own a film company together. So
okay.
We're creative partners in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think I had seen that on the music video for Round and Round.
Yes.
What's the name of that company?
Tweaking Reality Studios. So yeah, James and our other partner, Luke, made all of that.
Nice. Very cool. So I read something on your bio on your website that you've been playing guitar for about 10 years or so.
Yeah. So I've been doing this since I was 15. So I just turned 23. So I've been playing music for about 8 years, which seems like a long, long time.
Right, yeah. Looking back as you get older, yeah. Well, where are you from? Are you from Reno originally?
Not originally, no. I was born in South Lake Tahoe, California, and then I split my time between Tahoe and Gardnerville, so I'm definitely a small town gal.
Okay, yeah, Gardnerville, and that area is very beautiful out there. Genoa and whatnot.
Yes.
If anybody that's listening to this and never been out there, this part of the country, definitely check it out. So when you first started, how did you get into initially start learning how to play?
I actually found an old guitar in the closet of my house, and I found the guitar and I just kind of started messing around on it and was like, wow, I actually really enjoy this. And in high school, I met another guy named Dan Rubin. He's been in Reno, a musician in Reno, and we started this little duo in high school called the Botanicals. And we played the talent show, and it was all really exciting at the time. And then that kind of catapulted me into songwriting and playing guitar more.
Oh, cool. I read that you grew up, in the small town area of this part of the world with your hippie parents. Did they have the guitar that you found? Was that their guitar that you learned about?
Yes. Definitely have hippie parents. My name is Elsbeth, so you can kind of assume that much. I spent a lot of my time camping and stuff. And when I was a kid, I hated it. I hated that my parents forced me to kind of go into the woods and escape from everything, because I was a kid and I didn't want to hang out with my parents for all that time. But as I've gotten older, I can really appreciate the hippie parents and how I was raised with such free-minded, loving people.
Well, and it's a beautiful area to go hiking and backpacking in.
Oh, so absolutely.
That's great that they got you into that. And that kind of resonates on your album that you just released called Round and Round. It has a very environmentalist theme to it. How did you come about putting that together in that way?
Well, the album was kind of definitely an evolution and a growth from the past year and a half. I actually quit music for about a year I was touring quite a bit on the West Coast, and I had a band called Elspeth Summers and the Sage Bandits, and I was really, really serious about music about a year and a half ago, and then everything kind of fell apart. Touring wasn't fun anymore. It's not as glamorous as you would think it is.
It can be kind of rough.
It was very rough. It's rough being in a car for so many hours of the day, and it's rough because I'm such a sensitive person, and playing in bars all the time is difficult when you're an introvert.
Right. Smoke, dark smoky bars.
Exactly.
Is not a place for Elspeth.
Exactly. And then, so I took a year off. I was just really heartbroken because everything fell apart. My band broke up, and the music broke my heart, and that hurt so much because music is my passion, and it's my soul, and it's my heart. And James was a big motivation for recording this new album, because I think there's definitely a lot of stigmas in the music industry or the music business that you have to go through all of these quote unquote professional avenues. If you wish to be successful, you have to go to a studio and you have to do all this stuff. And James is really the kind of voice of reason saying, well, no, we can do this. Like, you can record it on your own. And
it's a lot easier to do that nowadays,
exactly,
too. And make it sound good and professional at the same time.
Yep, exactly. And then, started recording. Didn't really have high expectations of the album. Originally, I just had the intention of recording my guitar track, vocal track, that's it. Kind of base foundation of the songs. And as it was going along, it kind of evolved. I recruited a few musicians from across the country, and I released my first EP in December of 2014, and the same person who played violin on that album played violin on the title track Round and Round. And
okay, I read about that. Yeah. Canadian friend
yeah,
of yours, right?
His name's Jacques. He's really eccentric and kind of out there, but he's really talented, and I'm glad that he was on it. And then I had two different cello players.
From here, also in Canada.
One from Atlanta, and then one from Tulsa. And then
you're outsourcing your musicians.
Yes, exactly.
That's okay in this case. He's a good violinist. So
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, it was great having all these other people. And then I also had Gina Rose. She's a local musician. She sang
harmony. I'm a fan of hers.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she sang four songs. She sang the harmonies on that. And we recorded all of her stuff at Dogwater Studios in Sparks, and then Rick at Dogwater mastered the album, and then James sang.
Rick Spagnola?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Dogwater
then,
Dick.
Yep. He's a character, that's for certain. I was very grateful. He did a wonderful job and kind of polished everything. And then James sang on Castle on the Hill and the lead guitar on that. So I definitely had a lot of different voices and people on it, which was great.
So did you play with James in the previous band, the Sage Bandits, as well, or no?
No, I met James after the downfall of my initial music career.
The downfall of the first band.
The downfall of the first
wave. Well, everybody's got to go through the first band at some point. It's kind of like initiation of putting together music.
It's a rite of passage, that's for certain.
Yeah.
And then, throughout the process, it kind of just evolved and grew, and I wrote some of the songs while I was in the process. So, like the songs Round and Round and Dive Deeper Love and Better Lady, those were all written after I had started and kind of replaced older songs because I felt like they were better. And I guess a big mission as an artist and as a musician is I want to inspire people, and I want to awaken people, and I want to crack people's exterior shells and really touch people's souls and hearts to love themselves and Mother Earth and all sentient beings. I think it's very important because we're at such a critical time in human history where we all have to come together to not only preserve ourselves, but to preserve the planet and all those that don't have a voice. You know, animals aren't in politics, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I know it sounds kind of hippie-ish, but I'm a hippie, and
that's okay. You're not wearing patchouli, so no patchouli in
no strong sense.
Sorry.
Yeah, so
I'm kidding. Anybody who wears patchouli out there. So, did you are you an activist as well? Do you get involved into local politics or like the Sierra Club or anything like that?
Not so much in the politics. I mean, this election season, I've been more involved with the Green Party. just because I think that they're the one political party that definitely has very extreme progressive actions against climate change. But in the land of the free, quote unquote free, the candidate for the Green Party isn't on the ballot. So I've kind of let that fade out. And honestly, I'm kind of realizing more and more that music, I think, moves people more than politics. I think music touches people more than political debates because it's closer to the purity of humans. It's
when people listen a little bit more,
exactly.
if it's instilled in music instead of, you know, an email from this year club or anything like that.
Exactly.
I have noticed like the last couple of records that Neil Young's put out has been like heavily environmentally themed and fueled too. Have you listened to those records that he's put out?
I haven't listened to Neil Young's new records, but it's so funny because I'm learning some Neil Young songs.
Oh, nice!
At the moment, Old Man currently
to play at shows that
you
have coming up.
Yeah, okay. I actually don't have anything booked at the moment. But we're planning a Canadian tour for next summer, and then gonna try and head out to New York City next summer as well for some.
The Big Apple.
Yeah, I've never been.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I kind of just want to jump in to the chaos.
So you're gonna book a few shows out there when
you
go?
Yeah,
nice.
Try and book like a long weekend of shows and mostly just see it because I know. We've been talking about it for a long time, how we want to go out there. So
well,
everybody's
got to go to New York at some
yeah,
point.
Exactly.
Greenwich Village and, you know, where Bob Dylan, like folk music originated,
yes.
In a sense, you know, Americanized folk music. So are you a fan of like Neil Young and Bob Dylan, and who are you influenced by?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up with Creedence Clearwater Revival, Janis Joplin, Fleetwood Mac, all the, you know,
Joni Mitchell,
yeah. All of Cat Stevens, the Moody Blues, all of these, you know, idols in the folk world definitely influenced me. And honestly, I don't really know my inspirations. I get asked that quite a bit. And I don't, when I write music or I sing, I don't try and think of others. I kind of just do what I feel. But I do love those. And as I get more polished in my craft, I feel like I definitely want to explore other musicians to get more inspiration and to grow.
Right. Well, that's a good segue into what I was going to ask about how you actually go about songwriting when you do it. I mean, I've read a lot of interviews and heard people talk about their craft of songwriting. Do you usually just, you know, let something kind of come over you and take a hold of you? Or do you, like, start out writing a guitar riff or lyrics? How does your process come about?
Usually I will. I'll write something on guitar. So I'll find a riff on the guitar or the banjo that I like. And then the melody will kind of come from that. And then from there, they'll evolve together. I think sometimes it's really easy to have like what you were saying where something just comes over and 15 minutes later it's, oh shit, I wrote this song. That's awesome.
Like didn't even think about it.
And that's always awesome, but that's definitely not the case all the time. Sometimes it takes, you know, days or weeks to let it sink in and then write another part and then it kind of just forms.
So do you think that this most recent record after taking a couple of years off from songwriting has, you think you've developed a lot better as a songwriter? I mean, I can personally tell like a difference between the two albums for sure, but how do you think, in your opinion, like taking a couple of years off has helped?
Tremendously. I was able to recharge and really reflect on the voice that I want to have and what I want my music to represent. And I think with any art, you have to create it from a pure place. And especially with songwriting, you kind of have to live to get stories to tell. I mean, you can constantly write and put out songs, but I think the most meaningful ones are the ones that are coming from your experience. And taking that time off really allowed me to grow and mature and expand. And yeah, I'm now in hindsight, I can definitely see that it was necessary for me to take a step back and really
get some life experience.
Exactly.
And get out there and do things.
And discover myself again. And I'm really, really grateful for the first demise.
Well, when you went about on your first album, I read that you self-produced this one with Round and Round. Did you do that for the first one too, or was this one kind of the learning process for that?
Yeah, this one was definitely very different than my first album. The first album, I had a producer in Canada. So how that worked is I would send him a rough, you know, really rough cut of a song of me just playing guitar, singing, and then he recorded everything in his studio in Canada. So the only thing that I recorded here was my vocals. So he would send me back parts and then I would sing in a studio, send those parts to him. So it was definitely more disconnected in a way because I wasn't there for the whole process. Unlike this album, it was all me. I decided everything. I decided who played on the album. I decided what instruments and how it sounded. So this album, I feel, is so much more personal and more of
more
a
hands-on too.
Exactly. And such a learning experience through the process. I know James and I both, like, it was hit or miss for a lot of it, where we had to re-record a lot of stuff because it wasn't that high of quality or the tempo was off or something. So I mean, it was definitely really frustrating at times because it was so close.
Yeah, I can understand that. I try to do a couple of things in here in the garage, but yeah, then when you get down to it and you're listening to it finally, you're like, damn it, I got to do that whole thing over
exactly.
again, or some kind of little pop or hiss, or just didn't sound right or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But that's really cool. What do you guys, because you both, you and James, worked on the production of the album, what do you use? Do you use like Logic or Pro Tools or something like that? Or
we used GarageBand.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah. We used GarageBand and then we had a Zoom mic, so we turned, it's pretty funny, we turned the closet into the recording room for vocals, so there was like a freezer in the closet, put the tripod and the microphone on that.
Whatever works.
Recorded, and then for the guitar, we just plugged it in directly into the computer, and then, yeah, it wasn't that complicated. But it takes so much more time than you would ever imagine just to record.
Well, just
a song.
Learning about everything too, learning exactly. about inverting frequencies and, you know, tons of crap that I still
yeah.
haven't even learned yet.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully James definitely has a lot more experience with that just because of his film background and the audio that comes with making film and video. So I was very grateful for James because he definitely helped so much on the production of it all.
Well, I love the album. It sounds great. I've listened to it a few times now in preparation for us meeting and all that stuff. But and I asked you to bring your guitar with you and play a couple songs too. So you're going to play which song? Round and Round, and what's the other one called?
Lemuria.
What is that?
Lemuria is the ancient city in Mount Shasta. So it's kind of along the lines of the concept of Atlantis. So
I've heard about this.
So
yeah,
an ancient people of light workers and ascended masters.
Have you met any Lemurians yourself?
Not in this dimension.
Or are you a Lemurian?
I'm not quite a Lemurian, but I'm not all human, I would say.
So the song's not about aliens exactly, is it?
No, but I do have songs about aliens. That's definitely in my repertoire.
Well, if they live in the mountain of Mount Shasta, they're technically not aliens. So
yeah,
they're natives.
They're natives, absolutely. They're
native Lemurians. And we're all the imported aliens then. Yeah, that's a weird. Okay, that's getting too weird. Getting off track. All right, anyways, thank you for stopping by and talking to me in the garage. And thank you, James, for coming too. And taking a few pictures and whatnot, and here we go with Elsbeth Summers playing two songs from her most recent record.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
Round and round I go, gullible. Snow and I Solid thing.
Well, that was really nice to have her come down and play a few songs. She has a beautiful voice, and that recording sounded really good. I hope it sounded good to all of you out there, too. So, anyways, she just played two songs off her recent album called... the first one was Round and Round off of the album called Round and Round, and the other one was called Lemuria. It's about aliens, like we were talking about. But, man, she has a beautiful voice. She's a great performer. Hope we get to see her at a future show coming up sometime soon. You can find her on Facebook and Twitter, like I said. But check out her website. We have a link to her website at elsbethsummers.com on our webpage. So thank you all again for listening to the show. Please rate us on iTunes, subscribe as well. You can also find us on Stitcher and tell your friends about the show. We got some great shows coming up in the future. There's some great bands coming up at Holland, at the Saint, as well as 7th Street Station. So be on the lookout for that. Anyways, this is Dave with All Independent Reno Podcast. And I'll talk to you later.